Good evening, everybody. You are now listening to WLS, the voice of Prairie Farmer, America's oldest farm paper, Chicago.
The Johnson Wax Program. Good evening, everyone. The makers of Johnson's Wax present another gay and gleeful good time gathering with Rico Martelli's orchestra and starring Marion and Jim as those two travel-torn, truth-tripping titans, Bibber McGee and Molly. Martelli starts it off with, "I can't give you anything but love." Give it, Rico. Before we join the meandering McGee's tonight, and while we're still serious, let me just tell you how you can keep your house looking more attractive and clean by taking three shortcuts in your housework. Here are the three shortcuts. Wax your floors, wax your furniture, and wax your woodwork with genuine Johnson's Wax. Almost all persons who keep house have the continual problem of fighting dust. Dust, 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 all the time. Now, if you protect your furniture, woodwork, and floors with a gleaming coat of Johnson's Wax, you'll cut your dusting just in half. For scientific tests prove that only one half as much dust clings to a Johnson Wax surface as on an unwaxed surface. Insist on having the original and genuine Johnson's Wax in the attractive yellow cap. There is unwanted activity at the McGee residence at 79 Wistful Vista today. After flopping dismally on several jobs, Fibber has found an ad for an out-of-town job. He's going to apply for it in person. The faithful Molly is going along, too, naturally. Here they are, packing up for the trip.
How many shirts you think I'll need, Molly?
I don't know, McGee. Better take both of them.
See now. Toothpaste. Handkerchief. That might catch cold. Socks. Quite a sock. Oh, I had a rabbit. His name was Bozo. Could hold mighty still except for his nose, though. With a high yippee yippee and a zazoo zaz. Razor. Hairbrush.
70 days, McGee. Hurry up. We'll never catch the train this way. And if we never did, I'd think it was a good idea.
Oh, shucks, Molly, don't be like that. This trip's going to be the turning point in our lives.
Turning point is right. We'll turn around and come back.
No, sir. I'm just the fella for that job, Molly. Why, when they hear what a...
Let's see the advertisement again.
Here you are.
Wanted. Smart, adaptable young man of good appearance for contact work in furniture trade. Excellent salary. Apply in person on or before February the 10th to the Whittle and Sawdust Furniture Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
See, Molly? That's me to a T. Smart, adoptable.
Yeah, but you ain't so young, McGee.
Huh? Oh, that just means young looking, Molly. Shucks, I got more get up and gallop than most of these young whippers.
Oh, now I wonder who that is at the door. Hurry up with your packing, McGee, whilst I see who it is.
Okay. If I put in my necktie. I took it as my dad red necktie. Oh, guess I got it on.
Come right in here, dear. McGee's just packing up for a little trip.
Who is it, Molly? Is it? Oh, hello there, Geraldine.
Oh, hello, Mr. McGee.
Well, how are you?
I just came over to buy Molly's hot water bag. It's for Gerald.
Oh.
He isn't feeling well.
Well.
Seeing you climbing over those suitcases reminded me of him. He's just getting over the grip.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, I've often wished I could travel.
So do I.
I often tell Gerald that travel is broadening, but he always says I better stay home and keep my girlish figure.
Well, what?
Gerald says the darlingest things, Mr. McGee. I mean, he really does.
Yeah, I guess.
I got Gerald a traveling bag for Christmas.
Oh, you did?
Gerald said he wanted a real pigskin because the Redcaps always played football with it anyway.
Yeah, well, I suppose he knows.
But don't let me interrupt your packing now, Mr. McGee.
Well, no, I just...
I know how it is to pack in a hurry.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Case makes waste. Yeah. You know the old saw.
Saw?
Yeah, Gerald says those old saws are all right if you like them dull and rusty. I mean, Gerald really said that.
Yeah,
well, thanks for the hot water bottle.
That's
have a nice trip, both of you.
Yeah.
And when you get on the train, remember what Teddy Roosevelt said years ago.
Teddy Roosevelt?
The platform is all right to get aboard with, but it's a bum place to ride. Diddle, diddle, diddle.
That was Martelli and his men playing Life Begins When You're in Love. And here are Fibber and Molly at the station of the NBNC Railroad buying their tickets to Grand Rapids.
Porter. Well, and pay him a nickel to carry that stuff 40 foot? No, sir, not me. One side, bud.
And another red cap bit the dust. Hurry, McGee.
Ticket?
Does this train go to Grand Rapids?
Yes, sir. Two in car 79. Second car ahead. Ticket, please.
Up you go, Molly. Up you go.
Well, here we are, McGee. Car 79, and we're in number 12 seat.
Oh, shucks, Molly. We just made it in time. Number 12, huh? Oh, here we are. Hey, buddy, get your feet off in the seat. We want to sit down.
Well, heavenly days. It's Nixie Poplar.
Oh, hello there, Nick.
Hello there, Peter. Hello, Cupid. Yes. How are you coming for to be traveling on a Pullman car, sleeper, eh?
Well, McGee's getting himself a job in Grand Rapids, Mr. DePoplin.
Yep. Furniture man, Nick.
Furniture man. That's a very fine business, I'm thinking. Next to restaurant business, furniture is very fine business to have something to do with, if you think I'm crazy.
Yep. They want to snap a young fella like me to contact the trade, Nick.
Oh, dear.
What experiences are you for to having in a furniture business, Peter?
Who, me? Why, shucks, Nicky, my boy. Into the whole dad-ratted furniture business. I used to be one of the outstanding figures.
Standing outside, eh? Chuffy, when was Caesar Porto having his fine experiments with the furniture business?
Well, don't be asking me, Mr.
I don't think I ever told you about it, Molly.
No.
That was when I was in Jamestown, New York, way back in 1904. Or was it? No, it was 1905.
Oh.
Or was it 1903? Come to think of it, it was back in 1898. Or 99.
When finally you are settling on some nice dates, it will be Happy New Year, I'm thinking. The same to me.
Plain enough.
Well, anyway, it was about that time.
Well, it's about time you was getting to the point, Mrs.
Don't crowd me, Molly. As I was saying, Nick, I was well known in the furniture trade in them days.
Probably as a trier-outer of easy chairs.
Overstuffed McGee, they called me in them days. I was lots heavier then. Overstuffed McGee, the fella with the flashy finesse for family fads and fine fall fancies in the February furniture festival.
That's a very fine slocum, I'm having no doubt, Liz. But how could you for forgetting all these titles on one little business card, Squeezy?
I never used that name onto my card, Nick. That would have been kind of bragging.
Oh, dear. Just a shrinking violet.
Well, it's a very fine business to have shrimping violets like Caesar, Cupid. He's always for to telling you he's hot stuff, but everybody should be taking it with a dose of salt to grab me.
Oh, look, McGee. There's a man walking the ties out there.
Oh, yeah. He's a track walker, Molly.
Did you say wax talker?
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hello there, Harpo. How are you?
What you doing on this train, Harpo?
Oh, I'm a traveling man now. Take a little trip up there.
See you later,
yeah,
Harpo.
Yeah.
Say, Nick.
Huh?
Did I ever tell you about Carl, the clever chameleon?
You mean a radio chameleon?
No, chameleon. Chameleon, you know. Kind of a little lizard.
Oh, sure. The uncle was caught in one.
In one what?
The lizard.
Chuck, if you ain't going to let me tell it.
Oh, go on, McGee. We're all ears.
Sure.
Well, sure, this here chameleon of mine, Carl, his name was, he was one of the fastest color changers of his kind. Put him onto an oriental rug, and in 10 seconds, you wouldn't be able to see him.
I see. He'd crawl underneath it.
Yes, he'd crawl underneath it. No! He'd change color to match the rug.
For gracious sake, this gizzard with changing colors is all Greek to me.
Take it easy, Nick. No leaping lizard. One day, I was kind of experimenting around with Carl, putting him onto a newspaper to see him turn black and white, and putting him onto some fancy wallpaper, and then trying him on an old striped necktie.
How'd he do, McGee?
How'd he do, Molly?
No. How did he do?
Who do?
Who's a who do?
Excuse me, please. This is where I came in.
Well, sir, this was one of the finest hunting dogs I ever had.
Hunting dog? Why, you were talking about Carl the Chameleon.
Oh, yeah. Well, sir, all of a sudden I got an idea. And I tried it out. It worked. And I've never been so sorry into my whole life. Poor old Carl. Faithful little fella, too.
What's happening to Carl, Peter?
I'll show you what happened. Come here, Carl. Come out and meet the folks.
McGee, don't you tell me you're carrying a lizard around in your coat pocket.
Is he reaching in pocket for to perhaps get Carl, or maybe he's wiping handkerchiefs for to wiping weeping?
Get nervous, Carl. Easy now. Take it easy. Now, look, folks, when I open my hand. There.
I don't see anything, McGee.
Sure, I don't think so do I neither.
Of course you don't see nothing. Somebody put Carl onto the window pane one day, and since then you can see right through him.
While Fibber and Molly's train speeds through the night to Grand Rapids, we're going to hear Rico Marcelli's special arrangement of the prize-winning song in our amateur songwriters contest. This song, written by Charlie Reber of Pittsburgh, is called The Old Kitchen Clock. We think it deserves to become a real song hit in the near future. This fine young tenor, Clark Dennis, sings it for us. The Old Kitchen Clock. Thank you.
heard of covered wagons and of the old spinning wheel. Sweet memories of bygone days, all so real. I have a keen recollection of something I hear every day, and it's tick-tock, tick-tock, ticking, just ticking away. Just an old kitchen clock, and it never seems to stop. It's a ticking winter, summer, spring, and fall. And when Grandma would bake, she would grind her bed and cake by the kitchen clock hanging on the wall. Though the years have rolled by and the old folks have gone, something keeps a ticking on and on. It's the old kitchen clock, and it never seems to stop. Will it keep on running after I am gone?
Congratulations, Mr. Reaper. Now, next week, Mr. Marcelli will play a special arrangement of another beautiful song which was entered in our amateur songwriters contest. The song entitled Yours was written by Carlton Bates of Cambridge, Massachusetts. We think when you hear it, you'll agree that Yours is a beautiful number. Now we turn our miracle microphone back to Car 79 on the NBNC Railroad, where Fibber and Molly are getting ready to retire.
Heavenly days, Lizzie. You mean to say we're both sleeping in that little bed?
That's you, Molly. What's the matter with that? Where are you sleeping, Nick?
I'm for to sleep over here in upper berth, number 14. This one I'm thinking. No, I'm wrong. Excuse you, please, lady. Is your face red, I hope? This next one is number 14.
You should be more careful, Miss Nicopolis. You woke that lady up.
Well, she's unlucky for to be in number 13.
Pipe down over there.
Heavenly days, let's go to bed. We're keeping everybody awake. Yeah.
Well, good night, people. Sweet dreaming.
Good night, Mr. Nicopolis.
Good night, Nick.
Brush your teeth, McGee?
Only the lowers, Molly. Go on, get in.
Well, I... McGee, pull the curtains together.
Oh, excuse me. Hey, where in the hunk do I hang my clothes?
Well, there's a coat hanger hanging up there, isn't it?
Oh, I got it.
Feller's
supposed to
get
to this nightshirt when he ain't got no more room.
Oh.
Is
there something, McGee?
That was just a rip, Molly. R.I.P. Meaning rest in peace. Okay, Molly, move over.
Heavenly days, I am over. You want me to hang out the window?
No, don't do that, Molly. They might hang the mailbag on you.
Come on now, get into bed.
How can I get into bed? There ain't enough bed.
Well, I told you to get another berth, didn't I?
Chuck, they used to make them bigger than this. This here dad rather streamliner. Won't leave room for...
Hey, Pepper.
Huh?
Better get your feet out of the aisle. Water's liable to shine them.
You going to bed, Harpo?
Yeah, guess we will. Got a big customer to see tomorrow.
Oh, I see. Well, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Nice guy. Well, excuse me now while I climb up to my upper
berth
here.
Hey, you're stepping on my hand.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pepper. I'm awfully sorry. Well, I'll see you in the morning.
Okay. Now for a good reflection, Mike. Can you scrunch over Mike more, Molly?
No, I can't. You're just bugging the side of the car I am now.
Good night, Molly.
Good night, Mickey.
McGee. What's the matter, Molly?
Listen, is Mr. Wilcox talking in his sleep?
Johnson's wax, and I'm the guy that can do it. Awful!
Car full of folks sleeping like this can be so bad that it's peaceful and quiet.
Heavenly days, what's that?
It's either the train going over a trestle or somebody snoring. Listen.
Well, I'm glad he isn't going to keep it up.
A lot of spirit into it, but not much melody. Where's it coming from, Molly?
Sounds like Mr. DePopolis. Listen.
That's him, all right. He's snoring in Greek. Shall I go over and shake him, Molly?
No, McGee, let the man sleep. There's more than we can do. Do you mind if I turn over, McGee?
No, hey, wait a minute. You better let me get out first. Okay, turn over.
All right. You can get back in now.
I don't know if I can or not. You have to double up like that, Molly?
I'm not doubled up, Ignatz. I'm lying straight as a string.
Somebody must have tied a knot in it.
Very funny, McGee.
Okay. Good night, Molly. Hey, Molly. Molly. Now for a little first class shot.
Evangeline, go to sleep. Mother's right down here. You're disturbing the other passengers.
Oh, Mama, I'm afraid.
Why, there's nothing to be afraid of, dear. Remember, the angels are watching over you.
Oh, I'm afraid. Mama, can I come down there with you?
Didn't Mother tell you the angels are watching over you? Now go to sleep.
For the love of Mike, lady, will you keep that kid quiet?
Mama, was that an angel?
Oh, heavenly day.
I don't think that hardly describes the night. Who in Tunkett's that snoring? Is that Nick, did you say?
I believe so. Sounds like somebody's gone home and left the pipe organ turned on.
Guess I better go over and stop him. He's liable to strangle himself.
Well, if he don't, I will.
Happy! Happy this minute.
That's telling the Mr. DePopolis.
Atta boy, Nick. Who's doing the snoring?
Myself, Caesar.
Then who are you bawling out?
Also, I was bawling myself, Aunt Soupy. for waking myself up. I'm madly in hate with me.
How this wax cleans. At the same time, it polishes, removing dirt that's been accumulating in the pores of the wood for years, perhaps. Johnson's wax leaves a protective coat of beauty on tables, chair arms, and radio cabinets. This wax protection wards off scratches and stains and preserves the wood so it doesn't dry out. From the day you start using Johnson's wax on your furniture, floors, and woodwork, your housework will be easier. By the way, you'll find it very economical to buy Johnson's wax in the larger size can. Again next Monday evening at this same time for some more merry and musical McGee misadventures. And in the meantime, remember that just as the best housekeepers use Johnson's wax and Johnson's glow coat to keep their houses clean and shining, so the most particular car owners keep their cars sparkling with Johnson's auto wax and cleaner. This is that old rugged character, Harlow Wilcox, your wax minister, saying good night. The selection I Can't Give You Anything But Love is from the Blackbirds of 1928. This is the National Broadcasting Company.